Let's open to Philippians chapter number 4. And then also I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 in just a few moments. Good to be back in the service tonight. I have enjoyed all these testimonies and the singing. I've enjoyed the services. I've enjoyed the blessing of the week. What a wonderful week we've had. And I praise the Lord for it. And, I emphasized praying last night. And pastors emphasized it all week. I've enjoyed the prayer time. I really have. I praise the Lord for it. Right now, by my watch, it's 15 after 7. In Papua New Guinea, where Brother Caleb's going, I believe you support Brother Ben Andrews, don't you? Papua New Guinea. They're 15 hours ahead of us. So that means right now in Papua New Guinea, it's 10:15 Sunday morning. You've got Sunday school going on in Papua New Guinea church right now. They're serving you there, serving the Lord, serving you, serving the Lord. Now, I cannot follow yours on through, preacher, but I can do our church, and so I'm going to do it, not to. It's just because I know what I'm talking about in hours. A couple hours later, we just jump over to Korea. They're 13 hours behind us. And they start our meeting there, both in North and South Korea. And we'll have Sunday school there. 12 hours, Japan. And I think part of the Philippines is on that 12 hours. So at 10 o'clock tonight, they start our Sunday school in Japan. And then 11 hours, we come on and get the rest of the Philippines. And some of the other areas are of Asia. I can't go through all of it. Don't have time. And then, from then all the way around to 5:30 in the morning, we come across Asia, Europe, and Africa, starting Sunday school. Then we take a little break and cross the Atlantic, and we pick up here at 10 o'clock in the morning. 9:30, but anyway, let me stay at my original thinking. And then, an hour later, our folks over in Alabama in the Central Time Zone, they pick up. We support some missionaries in that zone, some church planters, workers. And then 2 hours, 12 o'clock here, it's 10 o'clock in Colorado. And up the Rocky Mountain time zone, the mountain zone. 3 hours later, at 1 o'clock here, it's 10 o'clock in California and Oregon in the West Coast. 4 hours behind us at 2 o'clock here, it's 10 o'clock a.m. in Alaska. And our Alaskan missionaries crank up our Sunday school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we're following that with a Sunday night services coming on behind. And we really have about 30 hours of church there. The night services, day services too. Maybe a little break there in the medium before, crossing the Atlantic, but not much. So what I said all that to say is, it don't matter what time you're praying, between now and midnight tomorrow night, there's somebody in church, a missionary, having a meeting. Pray for him. You never know what God will do. You never know what God will do. You never know what God is doing. I want to say this. There's an area of the judgment seat of Christ. Brother Sexton, all my life, and I understand what's being preached, I've been taught to fear the judgment seat of Christ. There is an element that I do fear. I've sure not been a good steward of God all the way through. But I want to tell you, there's an exciting time at the judgment seat of Christ too. Can I say it in good Tennessee language? When we see what God's done, went and done what we went and done, it'll be amazing. But in your personal prayer life, through the night tonight, just about any hour you want to pray, somebody is preaching, somebody's teaching Sunday school, something's going on through the night. That's what the work of missions is. When you get a hold of the work of missions, somebody said you get a hold of the little end of something big. Amen, I like that. And I praise the Lord for it. Well, again, thank God for the meeting. And do be praying about your faith promise. God will have his way. I know you've been encouraged that. And pray for God's will to be done. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Our Bible open. Philippians. Of course, it comes from the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi is a church that was started by the Apostle Paul. It was started, he was, of course, sent out of the First Baptist Church at Antioch. And it was a mission church. So it's all missions. And they are one of the churches that Paul refers back to in Corinthians as an example. The churches of Macedonia, Thessalonica, Thessalonians, and then Philippi. But I don't think I've ever read this here before, but I want to read it tonight, just a launching pad. Here is a missionary writing to a supporting church. And the basic story is this. They have given so much, they created a need. And now then Paul is saying to them, you know, we often hear this verse taken out of context, say, well, my God will supply all my needs. You've got to be careful who you're talking about there. But this is a church that created a need by giving. And God, the God the missionary said, you created that need, giving to me. Now my God, the God the missionary, will supply all your need. And I want to deal with that tonight, the Lord willing, in the service. Let's read from verse number 15 of Philippians chapter number 4. The Bible said, well, I get verse 13 and start there. I can do all things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things. I think that would include giving. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For in Thessalonica you sent once and again repeated giving unto my necessity. And I love verse number 17. I believe Paul is honestly bearing his heart. In verse number 17, he said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Remember, Paul started that church. That's one of his churches he began. And there is no greater delight for a pastor than to see his fruit produce fruit. Grow on in what he'd been taught. So Paul said, it's not that I just desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18, he said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of, and I never can get this word to come out right, Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now look at verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now stop there. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the study of the Word of God this evening. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Lord, my heart has been so thrilled and overwhelmed to hear the testimonies of these dear missionary wives tonight. And Lord, it's just been a wonderful meeting, a wonderful time. I praise you for visiting with us. Lord, for showing up and doing great things for us in the days of this meeting. Thank you, our Father, for Pastor Sexton and his people. Lord, that have so labored behind the scene and prayed and prepared and, Lord, have... Could I use the word put on this meeting? Lord, that we could be here to be a part of it and get in on the blessings of God. Father, I pray for this church tonight. Lord, as we're coming down to the closing services, the closing hours, Lord, we're down to the last few minutes, if I could say it that way, in this particular meeting. Lord, soon the buzzer will sound. It'll be over with. And we'll fill out our faith promise commitment cards and see what you want to do through us as a church here during the next year. I pray, Lord, that each individual be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we seek the Lord for direction. And then may we find grace to help us obey God in this time of need. Do what you want to do. Do what needs to be done. And for what you do, I'll praise you. Thank you, Father, again. Now help me to help your people and save the lost in our presence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, and seated for the message for tonight from the Word of God. I thought a few moments ago, I don't think I've ever used this in missions, the particular thought. But Paul writing to one of the churches, and I couldn't even find it. Some of you can tell me where it is, but it wouldn't come to my mind right off. But Paul said, to write the same thing to you is not grievous to me. It's grievous, but to you. And he went on to talk about how that he did not mind writing over again and again. You know, as preachers, we must learn in Sunday school teachers that repetition is a great way of teaching and learning. Sometimes, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm old enough, I can be honest now, I don't have to hide anything, but if it embarrasses me, I'll get over it. But it bothered me for years to preach the same message, the same place. One day, Brother Sexton, I realized y'all sing the same songs. The choir don't seem to be embarrassed to sing the same songs, and the listener shouts again. So, you know, I'm just going to obey God. I don't mind it. I really appreciate how God enables me, and I want to say that right. Man came to me some time ago and said, Brother, how many times have you preached on faith promise giving? And I'm sure it's over 1,000. I don't really know. But he said, it's amazing. It seems like every time you get up, God just makes it fresh again. And you preach that like it's the first time you ever seen it. But I want to go over tonight, very basic, I mean very kindergarten, and I plan to do it again in the Sunday school in the morning from a different angle. But I want to go over this matter of learning to let God give through you. Learning to let God give through you. Now, I read to you about a giving church, Philippi. And as I said, we don't have detail on it. But the evidence is in the text I read. They had given to meet the need of the Apostle Paul, and may I use a word, and his team, his co-laborers. You know, he had Timothy and Silas with him and some of that. But they had given until they created a need in their own life. Then Paul writes to them and said, now, you've created this need to help me serve God, and my God... My God's going to take care of your need because you're taking care of His servant's needs. And it boils down to what I preach all these years. You cannot outgive God. I wish I could drive this home. There's never been an offering given in obedience to God that missed the eyes of God. We have evidence in the Bible. The story of the widow woman with the two mites. God watches the offering. He said you gave more than all of them. So that means to me that He saw what everybody put in. But God, and there's all kind of givings, and I'll deal with that Lord willing tomorrow morning. But God has a special interest in world missions. And He's looking for somebody that He can entrust to supply money to meet the need of missions. Now, I want to do a couple of things, and then I don't think I've done this. I may have done this last year. God gave it to me sometime last year. If I did, y'all just bear with me a moment. My wife and I like to pull out money. Brother Crabtree, you hadn't seen me. I like to pull out money when I'm preaching to Baptists. It makes them nervous. But at least I got their attention while I'm waving this $20 bill up here. My wife and I have 3 children. You cannot do in today's society what I'm fixing to talk about. We did it with our children. We lived all of our life in the country. I love the country. Most all of it we lived out in the country. And when our children became teenagers, the 2 first ones especially, My wife and I went through the routine. I was pastor, and we went through the routine of either Saturday or Friday night or Saturday morning. We went to town. And one of the main stops in town was the grocery store, the supermarket. And we bought our groceries for the week, basically. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But sometime during the week, my wife would say something to me like, "We're out of milk. I need a dozen eggs." Am I ringing your bell? You understand what I'm talking about? And I knew what she meant. It was safe in that society then. We didn't have to worry about our kids. Brother Dwayne walking down the road a mile to the store, half a mile to ride their bicycle. And so my wife was saying to me, "Send one of the children down to the grocery store and get a gallon of milk." So I'd call Donna in. I'd call David in. I'd say to them, "Run down to the store and get Mama a gallon of milk." But there was always one other action that took place. I ordered it. I pay for it. Amen. Now, having said that, and I'm not mean to say this, I didn't order the Great Commission. There are probably not many men alive, Brother Sexton, that's preached more missions than I have, and I don't say that boasting. They've been doing it for a long time. But I didn't tell nobody to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's not a missionary in here tonight that I called. I didn't call any missionaries. I did not give the Great Commission. I've got you looking at me and thinking, so I want to say this. Surely you don't think I'm a better father than God is. If I order the milk, I pay for it. Since God ordered the Great Commission, God will pay for it. Well, if we're not careful, it makes us sound religion. Oh, boy, real religion. Boy, we've got to help God out. He wants the world to hear the gospel, and he can't do it without me. Let me give you another illustration. I just picked these up. I like these illustrations because most Baptists are so shallow, they don't catch on to deep preaching anyway. So I just, and I can't go any deeper anyway. But Brother Texan, I noticed the jug sitting under there. Anytime you got a jug of dollar bills, it gets my attention. You know, I look at it. But you have a change march around here, I suppose, on Sunday. You ever watch children in a change march? You know what children in a change march is doing? They know you've got some money, and it don't take them long to learn who's going to give them change. And they know you want to put that money in that jug. And they know you want them to come by and put it in the jug for you. Are you with me? And those little children walk up, you know, and they just smile real big, and they go over. Sometimes they'll count every penny out, one piece of money at a time, you know. And they're having a time just doing what you want them to do with your money. Can I say to you tonight, God's got some money. He wants it put in the mission offering. And he's waiting for you to come where he's got the money and take it from him and put it in the mission offering. Come on now. Nod your little head up and down. Amen. That's exactly what it is. And you enjoy giving for two reasons. You enjoy helping the cause, but you enjoy letting those children have that little part. I do. Boy, I believe God enjoys hearing us tell what he's done and bringing mission money into our life. And if God's done something for you, we ought to tell it. Look at this. I'll settle on the scripture in just a minute. There's a God in heaven. Can I get an amen? There's a world going to hell. That God loved that world enough, he gave his son to die for them. And the same God that gave his son said, all the silver, how much? All the silver, how much? All the silver and all the gold are mine. Can I just paraphrase that in the Tennessee language? God said, I own it all. Everything belongs to me. I want to ask you a question. Think a minute. What kind of God would it be that would send his son to die for the world and set up in heaven and hoard the money needed for somebody to go tell the world? We have got such a misguided concept in the Baptist churches. Can I say it? I'm not being mean and I'm not fussing, Pastor. But it's like, if we're not careful, we get the idea poor old God's having it rough. He's counting on us to bail him out. God's got the money in his hand. And God wants to supply the need. And God's waiting on us to come and take it from him and give it to them. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and let me say one more thing, but you may turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. But in the matter of this, I've not asked nobody, and nobody's told me this, but I think I'm right in saying this, Brother Harvey. When that little kid's got that money in his hand, it don't think much about where it come from. It's their money. I got this. He give me this money. And for that little space of time, it's my money. And I want to tell you something. When you learn, God will put it in your hand. You get the joy for a few moments of thinking, boy, look what I've got to give to missions. Can I say it? I'm not fussing. I'm telling you, I'm giving so much in faith promise. Well, the reason you're giving is because you went to God and God gave it to you. Somebody said to me one time, what are you doing? I said, I'm living from hand to mouth. And they said, that don't sound good. And I said, it's real good when it's from his hand to my mouth. Amen. But God wants to provide money for missions. Again, may I say this then? When we give money to missions, so many Baptists have a concept that missions, missionaries are strangers who come to our church, get our money, go their way, and do their thing and leave us empty-handed. Can I go a step further? If you let your carnal mind look at missions, I'm going to use a word I don't like to use, but missions is a crazy thing. Here we have had meeting all week. You know what we're trying to do this week? We're trying to get you to give some money that you could use here at home so we can send it somewhere else. We're even praying for this thing's over to Mark that God will call somebody that we need to work here at home to go somewhere else and work. And I agree with you. God's doing somebody. And this will be a wonderful tonight, tonight or tomorrow for you to just sell out. Lock, stock, and barrel. Just come on in and let God do with you what he wants to do to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to hear me. God don't play the game our way, by our rules. I shouldn't call it a game, but you understand what I'm talking about. God's not going to get on my team. I got to get on his. God's not going to play by my rules. I got to play with his. So I want to show you tonight in the Word of God. You know it, but I want to show it to you again. How some folk learn to let God give through them. Look at your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. You have a story here, and I've said this before, and I know most of you have caught it, but I believe this to be a famine. I could not prove that, but I believe from the context. There's something that is called in verse number 2 a great trial of affliction, and I believe that can be, and most writers that I've read after accept that same reason also, and I have no problem with it, so I want you to grant me the privilege. Let me use it as a famine. You have in this area, you got the Mediterranean Sea, and then above it looks like an ice cream cone turned upside down, the Aegean Sea, and then right across the top of that Aegean Sea there is a province, you and I would call it a state, that's called Macedonia. Hanging off to the my left, you're right there. Maybe I've got it back. But anyway, hanging off to one side of that state is another state that is called Achaia. Now, in the state of Philippi, in the state rather of Macedonia, there are two churches we're familiar with. There could have been a third one then. I would not argue. I don't know. But there, we know there's a church at Philippi and there's a church at Thessalonica. But Sexton, I do believe that church at Berea came into existence sometime in there. I don't know a timing, so I'm trying not to be dogmatic on what I'm not dogmatic about. But anyway, there's two churches, Philippi and Thessalonica, in existence. Down in Achaia, we don't know much about that state, but when I say this, you will. The capital city of Achaia is a town called Corinth. That ring a bell? So you got the church at Philippi, the church of Macedonia, which is Philippi and Thessalonica, and then the church at Corinth, somewhat that's neighboring states. And when the famine comes through there, whatever this is, and I'm using a famine, you see, a famine would mean 3 months minimum with basically no income. I know it's, we can't even comprehend it, but Brother Sexton, you men of Ridgeview Baptist Church, you imagine trying to run this church financially if everybody in here got laid off for 3 months. And all that money that was to come in the offering to be tithed on and everything, Brother Sherwood, would just be what we pick up on the side as we use that Tennessee expression. Brother Sexton, I'm not putting you in a spot to say this on my, but if I were pastor of this church, I know what I'd do. I'd have a men's meeting. Elders, we got a problem. We got to pray. Everybody's lost their job. Are you with me all right? Everybody with me okay to right there? Now, I'm going to take it as though that happened. I can't prove it did, can't prove it didn't. So I can't prove it didn't, you can't prove it didn't, so we're both even on, all right? But I watch this. We meet in the men's meeting. Let's go first with the Corinth church. They go in the men's meeting, and the Corinth church comes out of the men's meeting with this thought. Let's stop giving to missions until the famine's over. And of course, with the intention, when it's over, we'll start giving again. They follow that plan. They go into the famine. They stop their giving. Paul reminds them of it in chapter number 9. You promised it a year ago. Now do it. So evidently they have stopped. We're not doing that. And so, you know what happens? They don't have any money for missions. Can I use language we understand? They don't have any money to pay the bills, and the church is dying. Up in Macedonia, they have their men's meeting. In that men's meeting, they come out of their men's meeting with a total opposite approach. They come out of there and say, let's trust God. Let's believe God. Can I go another step? Let's see what God will do. Can I go spot? Let's see if God will provide like we've been. You know, it's easy to preach how God will provide when you're not having a famine. It's like Romans 8:28. You got a problem? My answer is Romans 8:28. I got a problem. Romans 8:28 don't work. Let's see what God will do. Let's believe God. You know, I'm afraid we'll find out the judgment seat of Christ. We miss some of the greatest victories in our life because we got afraid of a test that came and we backed out on God instead of believing God. So, they go into the famine. As they go into the famine, they discover they're still able to pay their missions. They're still paying the bills. But more than that, they're shouting it out. I know that's not Baptistic, but they're shouting it out. Well, the Corinthian church, if I can just use language, you understand, they approach Paul and say, how is it? Why is it? They say down in South Georgia, why come? We don't have no money. We can't pay our bills. But the Macedonian churches are paying bills in the same famine, and they're shouting it. Paul, in verse number 1, calls us examples. He said in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. I said the Bible calls it examples. It doesn't in that verse of Scripture, but it presents it as an example. Let's see what they're doing over there. They're doing something that God's blessing. And Paul is literally saying to the church of Corinth, Let's see what they're doing that God's blessing. And by the way, if you can't catch on this, I don't know if I can help you or not, but God's no respecter of person. If you'll do what others are doing that God's blessing, that's obey God like they're doing, the same God that blesses them will bless you. You say, well, Brother Bruce, why is it when you tell these stories, there's always just one or two in the church it happens to, or three or four? There's more than that. I know here tonight, I'm just simply saying, God will honor anybody who by faith will believe God enough to obey God. So they go into the famine. I'm going to make up a story here again to make a point, and I hope you'll stay with me in it. Brother Sexton, I'm not boasting. I'm not trying to put any plant thoughts in your mind. I got a $20 bill. If God were to move upon you tonight for some special offering, and God just nudged me a little bit, I'd give that $20 bill in it tonight at the closed service you take an offering. I'm not asking to. Everybody with me? Now, wait a minute. You would too. Just let me finish this story. You know why I do that? I got another one. You know why I do that? Not only I got another, don't doubt me when I say this, but tomorrow's payday for me. Y'all know that. I live off of the offerings that churches give me. So I walk out of here tomorrow, I get my separation papers, a blue slip. I live on it. Now, it wouldn't be a problem to give a $20 bill if you got nothing in your wallet. And payday tomorrow. So I'd give that $20 bill really without even praying. And probably never think of it again. You know, I mean, I just casually, I don't mean to be disrespectful, I just throw it in there. You would too. But wait a minute. What if that $20 bill is all I had? And God said, give that last 20. And I'd say, say what, God? Lord, you know I want to obey you, but if you're, that's really you talking, I want you to give me a sign. I need the piano and organ to swap sides. Let me know for sure you're in this business. But wait a minute. I've not got to the Macedonians yet. They didn't have the 20. What if you took the same offering? God told me, give 20. And I said in my Tennessee roots language, I ain't got it. And God said, well, trust me. Do it by faith. I'll provide it. I ain't getting no amens. A couple of old me's maybe, but it'd be just like, I'm just trying to help you, trying to preach. But Brother Wayne, it would be like I said to you, preacher, raise my hand. I'm talking about taking that offering. I don't have no money. But I'd say to him, preacher, I don't have any money right now. But God told me to promise $20, and if you or somebody else will put it in for me, I'll get it to you. In a few days. Everybody with me? Well, I'm fooling around here after church and shaking hands with people, and all of a sudden somebody shakes my hands and I feel something in the palm. And I look and it's a $20 bill. Now watch me. I hope you don't think I'm going to sneak down here and say, hey, preacher, don't you tell nobody, but God provided that money. No, I wouldn't. I looked down and saw that $20 bill. I'd say, hold up! Stop everything! Hey, preacher! God done went and done it again! Woo! That's why they had this abundance of joy. They were trusting God, doing what God said, trusting God, and God was supplying. I'm telling you, that's enough to shout it out anytime. You don't think it is? Ask Brother Brian Williams. He can tell you what I'm talking about. Many of you others can too as well. But now, how did this all start? The secret comes in verse number 5. This they did not as we had hoped. Verse number 5. This they did not as we had hoped. But first. And I take it first means first. But first gave their own selves. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. Now, watch me just a moment. I'm going to use an imaginary offering plate and set it right up here, and we're going to take mission offering. It's not hard to get Baptists to give money to missions. Thank you for not breaking the record. For 40 years I've been saying that. Nobody's ever said amen yet. But it's not hard to get Baptists to give money to missions. Preacher, I wish there's a way I could figure out. I wonder how much money we'll be putting, I'm talking about in our independent Baptist churches, how much money, and there's been a lot of mission money given by the churches, how much money will be put in a mission offering tomorrow? And you know what will happen? Many of them will be back next Sunday. They'll be back the next Sunday. That's what happens right here at Ridgeview every week. Some of them give on a monthly basis. So the first of the month, they'll be right there with that mission offering their check. They'll come back the next month. That's how you support 70-something missionaries. But wait a minute. We'll get that mission offering. We pray a prayer, say, Father, take this mission offering, multiply it to meet the need of missions around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Put it in the mission treasury and checks go out. Now let's take this offering plate and let's set it down on the floor. And instead of putting my money in, let me put me in it. They gave themselves to the Lord. I don't want to ever lose this thought in my mind. And we use the word in Tennessee, I wonder what God would do with you if He could get you to put yourself in a mission offering. Lay your hand on your head and say, Father, take this mission offering and multiply it to meet the need of missions around the world. In Jesus' name. I wonder what God would do. I don't want to sound wrong at all, but Brother Sexton, I've had the wonderful privilege of experiencing a little bit what God to do. I put my life in that altar plate years ago, and I don't have any credit to be given me, no glory to me for what God's done. Give it all to Him. But I'm telling you, God will take your offering, and God will use you. It doesn't mean you're going to the mission field. It doesn't mean you're not going to the mission field, but it means you're giving God liberty to use you however and wherever and whenever God wants to. To get the gospel to the lost and dying world. And by the way, did you notice when I put myself in the offering plate, my $20 bill came in? My wallet came in? I normally would say the keys in my automobile, but He's got the keys. Mind, body, God's after you. But then after He gets you, that's when the real fun begins. Can I use that word fun? That's when the real joy starts in. You say, well, preacher, what happened? Look at verse number 2 now. They were willing to give their person first. Then in verse number 2, they were willing to give out their poverty. The Bible said in verse number 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Can I stop just one statement? Look at me just a moment. The statement I've just read to you is not Baptistic. It is not Baptistic to have an abundance of joy in a great trial of affliction. Amen? I mean, you got a great trial of affliction, usually the response is, oh no, Lord, not again! But they are having an abundance of joy. You say, why? I believe it's what I said a moment ago. They were given and God has given back. They're given by faith and God's given back. They're given by faith and God's given back. But now look at the last part of this verse. The Bible said, in their deep poverty, abounded, that's overflowed, abounded under the riches of their liberality. May I again please give you a Tennessee translation of that? They wound up giving more in a time of famine than they'd been given in a time of fullness. How do you do that? G-O-D. See, we've got to learn God will give through us. Not them kids. You give money to children to put in that change. You don't give to the children. You wouldn't give them. I'm not saying you wouldn't give them. But that's the purpose. You give it to them. not for their own self, but to put in a jug, right? God will put mission money in our hand to put in a mission offering. And that, can I go ahead and say this? You give one of them kids some money and you've seen them stick it in their pocket and walk off and keep it. You wouldn't want to give one much longer. You'd pass him by and get somebody that's going to put it in a jug. Come on, come on, come on. And maybe the reason some of you don't have anything to give. You didn't do what God told you to do and what he gave you. And keep your promise. But they gave out of their poverty. They wound up giving more in a time of famine than they gave in a time of fullness. Now, I've spent a lot of time, but I'm really to the core of the message. And I'll not be long, hopefully, in the rest of it. Look at verse number 3. They gave their person first, verse number 5. They gave out of their poverty in verse number 3. They were willing to give out of their poverty, verse number 2. But in verse number 3, they were willing to give beyond their power. The word power here speaks of their financial ability. Now look at me just a moment. While you're writing, if you keep on writing, but if you're not writing, look at me. Most Baptists are not willing to give what they can. Don't lie to me. Sit there and we ain't got no money to give an offering, but we got $25 to stop at Shoney's on the way out tonight. I think I read in the Bible something about whose God is your bet. Well, I better get off that, but as much as I've eaten this week, I don't need to touch that. But here's a group of people that's not only willing to give what they can to their power, but they're willing to give beyond their power. The only thing I can say to you, they're willing to give what they can't give. They're willing to give what they don't have. You say, how can you give what you don't have? You go to him that's got it and wants to give it. Do I need to remind myself and you again? God wants the world to hear the gospel. Do I marvel at this? When God gave the Great Commission, when the Lord gave the Great Commission, he didn't have to do it. But Brother Sexton, he could have wrote down when he gave the Great Commission to the penny what it was going to cost for the Great Commission from Pentecost to the rapture. Each of you missionaries, the day God called you, God knew to the penny what it cost to finance you from beginning to end. And can I make a statement? And he called you anyway. And I got news for you. God's not in the laying off business. God's not in the we're going to have to cut back because of lack of funds business. God will provide. You say, Brother Blue, how do you give? Well, look at Hannah. Hannah wanted to, but could not. Until that baby Samuel was born, all Hannah could say was, I wish I could. Talking about having a baby, I wish I could. But it's beyond me. But one day she realized it was God putting in her heart a desire to have a baby boy to give to him. She went to God and said, God, I can't give you a baby boy because I can't have one. But you could give me one, and if you'll give me one, I'll give him you. And God took her up on it. God did, and Hannah did. And Brother Harvey, it's like God said, I ain't going to let that woman outdo me. So she goes from 0 to 6. Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? Hannah's got another one. God is looking for somebody that loves the world enough. I'm talking about the lost world wants to see them saved. That they're willing to ask God, Lord, I can't support the missionaries like I'd like to, but you can. And God, if you will, I will. You put it in my hand. I put it in the pen. I'm telling you, it'll be shocking what God will let you do beyond your ability. I don't ever talk figures. 2 weeks ago, I got my statement from the church. And I looked at it and I said to my wife, it's amazing what God has put in our hand to put in the mission pan in the last year. God's no respecter person. You say, Brother Booth, why don't he do something for me? He said, if you be willing. They were willing of themselves to give beyond their power. Now, quickly, how is this going to happen? And I'm going to give you these things quickly. God can do it through an increase of way. In fact, he's God. He can do it any way he wants to. But God usually works in these three categories that most of the time we hear of. God can do it through an increase of wages. You say, preacher, I live on fixed income. My question is, who fixed it? Did you ever try to put fixed income in the Bible? Now the just shall live by fixed income. Without fixed income, it's impossible, please God. Whatsoever's not a fixed income is sin. That's in the second book of ignorance. God wants to put mission money. I'm going back to this, Brother Sexton. There's adults all over this building. You start that change march, and they pulled it out, and they got it waiting just for some kid to come by. Can I say this? God's done got his billfold pulled out. Woo! I never thought that before. Where's my money? I lost my $20 bill. God's done got the money in his hand and waiting on somebody just to come by and pick it up. Put it in the mission offering plate. He may do it, as I said, through an increase of wages. I could tell you story after story. I did not read in a book. There are life experiences that I saw of this happening. I want to tell you just one. And I feel like the Lord, I hardly ever use this, but I feel like the Lord wants me to use this. I thought about it a while ago, Brother Sexton. We have a young lady in our church. She's grown, got four children now, so she's probably 35 years old, something like that. Maybe even 38 or so, I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. I've been preaching missions in our church for 35 years. But as a 16-year-old girl, she's still in high school. She goes to Christian school, and her parents give her $10 a week for her allowance. And with that, she's got to get something snack-wise at the Christian school for lunch, you know, whatever little snacks they have to get through the day. Well, being a Christian, she knows, got $10. First dollar belongs to God. So she takes that out, she's got $9 left. So she gives $1 a week to missions. She's got $8 left to buy her lunch 5 days with. But missions conference come up again. And she done what the preacher said. Don't just put down something. Ask God what he wants to do. She asked the Lord what he wants her to do. And God said, I want you to raise that mission offering from $1 a week to $5 a week. Your tithe brings it down to $9. You give $5 a week and you live off of $4. Now, if you think God's going to let one of his youngins outdo him that way, you need to sue your brain for non-support. I'm just telling you, God's not that kind of God. So, she starts through it. In just a couple of weeks, her mother gets a phone call and said, I need a babysitter. Her mother ran a babysitting situation in her house, but she is loaded to the law, you know, the legal amount. She couldn't take any. And she said, all I need is, said, she worked one shift daytime, her husband worked nights, and there's an hour and a half from 3:30 to 5 o'clock. Hour and a half a day. And she said, well, do you know a teenage girl that I could get to babysit my little baby, hour and a half a day, I'd give them $25 a week. And Mama said, I got a 16-year-old girl that's good with kids. And so God, for a 16-year-old girl, took her from $10 a week. Now it's $35 a week, the $25 in her. And I mentioned this to her the other day. They're still members of our church. And I didn't have time for her to finish it. I said, I'm telling that, and I want to tell it and make sure I'm telling it right. And she said, that's right. But then she looked at me and said, did you hear about the $100? So I got to go home and find out what the $100 is. God don't hang around $10 all your life. If you're going to grow, I mean, he'll just let you go on up with it. God can do it through wages. Number two, God can do it through saving some money. Now, I think most of you know this, and I asked Brother Brian about telling this. And I'm going to be brief and not cover all the detail on it. But Brother Brian and his wife, Pastor knows this, and if you know about it, God got their heart for missions early on. They started giving while members here at this church started giving. There came a time when Brother Brian said to his wife, we're going to have to let our missions go down so we can get us a vehicle. And that Sunday morning, he started to fill out his card, and he looked over at his wife, and I hope I'm telling this pretty near right, and said, I'm not going to stop giving the missions to get a car. I'm going to give my missions and see what God will do. And they've been giving great. God's blessed them. He filled that out. A few days later, he drove by the credit union over here, and there sits a Honda Pilot, a couple of years old, and oh, that's what I need. And he started to stop. You may never told this year. I may be telling something they don't even know about. But he starts to stop, and he said, I can't. I got that faith promise to give. I done filled out that card. And that goes on 2 or 3 days, and he goes by there one day and just pulls in and said, how much is that Honda out there? And the man said, it's $16,000. You can have it for $12,000. Y'all know Brother Brian, so you know how he done. He said, oh. Started to walk out. The man said, wait a minute, don't walk out. Make me an offer. Brother Brian told me, he said, just like before I even thought out of my mouth, rolled out, $7,500. The man said, give me $8,000 and you can have it. Brian said, I'll take it. Bought it for $8,000. And just a few weeks went by. And a hailstorm come through Blount County. And dinged up the top of that Honda Pilot. They insured it at the credit union, and Brother Brian went over there, made a point, went over there, you know, get the appraisal done on it. And when he got his appraisal, Brother Harvey, guess what it was? $8,000. They wrote him a check. Brother Brian looked at that man and said, do I got to get that vehicle fixed, or can I pay it off? And the man said something like, your check, your money, do what you want to with it. And he signed the check. See, when you're riding inside a vehicle, you don't see pings on top. No way. It's not like a knot on the tire. It don't bother the driving of it. Now, that's one of your own members' story, former members. I told that 2 weeks ago, just across in Virginia. When the service was over with, there's a man come up in that church, and he said, let me tell you my hailstorm story. I said, all right. So he told me he bought an older model car, paid $3,500 for it, insured it, and not long after owning that car, it came a hailstorm up there. And he said, it didn't even dawn on me that my insurance would cover that. One day, me and my wife was talking, and one of them said, you know, our insurance might cover that. And I believe he said, like 10 months later, and he said, well, they won't fix it now. But anyway, decided to go by. They went by, had it appraised, and the man said, I'm going to total the vehicle, but I'm going to give you an option, one or two things, either one you want. He paid $3,500 for the car, everybody got that. He said, I'm going to total it for $4,000. Or if you want to keep the car, I'll give you $3,500 and a clear title to the car. He took the car and the $3,500, drove it for that period of time he had drove it, and now then he owns it free, got $500 extra in his pocket. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I can't help you. It's for believers only. You can doubt and do without. But I'm telling you, I told you that so because it involved one of your members, and it is true. God can do it. God can save you some money. God can do it in the unexpected manner. But here's what I like about it, and I want to say this. You don't pigeonhole God. He can do it any way He wants to. But I promise you, when you learn to give by faith, you'll learn God will not dishonor Himself by failing to provide what He tells you to do. Now, you don't put down some magical number you draw out of your head and say, I'm going to put this down and see what God does. You do what God tells you to do. And God will honor you. There's many other stories right here in the membership of this church that could tell what God's done, went, and done. Here's what it is, and especially for you that are newer members or even old members that's not caught on to this. you get serious with God on this question. Lord, what do you want to do through me? What do you want me to do? And if you'll seek God's will, God will lay a definite amount on your heart that He wants to give through you. You start doing that, and God will provide it one way or the other by either giving you extra income, by saving you some money somewhere else, or by doing something unexpected, bringing that money into your life. God will give through you to put in a mission offering what He will not give to you to put in your pocket for yourself. It becomes a joy. It's like you reach out to the hand of God. God puts it in your hand for you to put in the offering plate. And the work goes on for missions around the world. Now, the Lord willing, in the Sunday school hour in the morning, and don't miss a Sunday school hour, I'm going to deal with other types of offering and lead up to this again. But I want to bring this tonight for the benefit of those who have not been involved before, that you could have the night's evening. Brother Sexton has said, and it's no offense in what I'm saying, he's told you to pray about your faith promise. Pray about your faith promise. I've tried tonight to explain to you what faith promise is and how it works. If my wife were here with me tonight, my wife and I look back in 40 years of giving the faith promise. We've been giving now, I think, 44 years. We're in our 44th year. And Brother Sexton, if my wife was here tonight, she wouldn't say amen, but she'd nod her head for me. Faith promise given has not cost us. It's paid. We're better off now than we were when we started. God will not fail you if you will be faithful to obey, emphasis what God tells you to do. I can't pray that prayer. I will pray for you, but I can't make that decision. Don't go ask Brother Sexton. He can't make it for you. It's our first missionary's wife that testified tonight. Get on your knees before God and say, God, show me what you want me to do. Just as much as God revealed Himself to her, God can reveal His will to you on what He wants you to do in the matter of giving. Pray about it. Start doing it. And watch God prove Himself faithful. And you'll be blessed. God's spoon's bigger than your shovel. He will not let you outgive Him. Let's stand together. I preached longer than I intended to. But this is a burden of my heart. This is what I do every week, just about it in my life. I preach on what I preach tonight. I've had the wonderful privilege. Somebody made a statement, Brother Harvey, you'll like this. I was preaching in Florida. Visiting pastor come by, just, you know, not a member of the church, another pastor come by. I knew him, he knew me, and he said that he got him and his wife to sing. And he said, I told my wife, I'm glad I don't have Brother Blue's ministry. He said, all I ever preach about is money and marriage and both of them make people mad. I got him to him, I said, I'm glad you feel it. We don't have to worry about you getting my meetings. But this is the exciting thing of my life, that God can take me and give through me what He does on a consistent basis for these years. But He's no respecter of person. Do what He wants you to do, and He'll do it for you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, Lord, I've been long.